Welcome to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is the Experience Points Radio Show. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin.
You just heard Michael jump in by No More Kings. Dustin, welcome back, sir. You had a rough past week or two,
yes,
right?
Yes, I had kidney stones.
I didn't have kidney stones, but I'll talk more about that in the next segment. Good to see you are...
I don't know what this next segment is.
You're peeing regularly now, I guess. You are urinating. But that's not what the show's about. This is the show where we drop nerd and geek knowledge on you.
Oh, it's not?
No, not this time. Though, you know what? I'm sure... You know what? We can tie this in next segment, actually. This is the show where we drop nerd and geek knowledge on you every Wednesday night. Last Wednesday was a Music Most show because that's actually it was the first show of the year that I replayed with kind of like a bumper on the beginning that says, Hey, you know, Dustin, he's out sick. Oh, we're going to learn about a boy soon.
Yeah.
I don't know why that's the voice I use for that.
Oh, no.
I don't know what he's going to do.
He's so verklempt. Coffee talk.
Oh my gosh. I want to like use what I think is like Yiddish, but I don't know if it means something really in real life.
I don't think we should just spit.
All of my Yiddish and Hebrew is from Mel Brooks, and I don't think that's that's not a valid point. We have a website, exppoints.com. Check it out. Remember, always double tap the P. We have all of our news, reviews, and some of our audio on there. We're on iTunes and Stitcher as well. Social media at exppoints.com/social. I'm not going to iterate through all of them because you hate it when I do that. I know you do. I see it in your eyes when I'm like, Facebook, Google Plus, blah, blah, blah. And you're just like, come on, we know.
It's like the terms and agreements.
Yes. Just click
update
accept.
ITunes.
I accept. Take my soul. Mm-hmm. We are going to cut to two songs, come back, talk about what we did for the last, really, I guess, week, 2 weeks, or whatever. SevCon, Big Giant Circles, and The Annihilation of Monsteropolis by the Megas.
Ooh.
We'll catch you after the break. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin.
You're listening to the Experience Points radio show exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 KSLU. I'm very excited to see how you tie in my kidney stones with this segment. Very excited. I've forgotten what the first segment is. What is it again?
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is still the Experience Points radio show. I'm MG.
I'm always Dustin.
You just heard The Annihilation of Monsteropolis by the Megas. Before that, SevCon by Big Giant Circles. The topic we left off on last segment was how I was going to tie Dustin having kidney stones to video gaming. And I remember, and we were talking about urinating, because kidney stones, they do this thing where like...
They pass through your urinary tract.
In your pee-pee hole. That's what it is. You got to pee. So it's urination, right? That was the thing that led me to think of... In bars, in a lot of these really high-end bars, they actually put like touchscreen, like Aqua touchscreen panels in the urinals, and you play games while you urinate.
Oh,
and
really?
You get a high score, and that inclines you to gamify urination, so you go and buy more alcohol, and you come back, and then you play more pee-pee games. So I totally tied it in. That's how it worked.
It's a positive feedback loop.
Yeah. It's look at me. I'm the high score. You know, I could be next to J.J. Abrams, but I'm the king in here.
Does it measure
know?
Like your pee as a score? Or
it measures the length, I think it's the intensity, the length, and then like you're like playing bubble popper or whatever. So you're like you're playing, you're like, you know, kill all these things, and you're like you're spraying,
Galaga.
You're praying and spraying, you know,
praying
and praying.
I wonder what the system would do if it read a kidney stone.
I don't know.
It's just like, it's
winner,
like, winner.
Oh man,
that's how you break it.
What did you? Yeah, that's what the screen's all broken, and you're like, dang, it was a. he had a what did he drink? Yeah. Oh my gosh. So what did you? This is a segment where historically we have talked about what we did the previous week. Or 2 weeks in the case where we skip a week. Dustin, you were out last week.
I did play some games.
What did you play? What did you see?
What did you? One, I saw. I say I played some games. I played as much as I could.
Yeah.
Because I was on hydrocodone most of the
Ooh.
Time.
Ooh.
Good.
You played games in your brain.
Yeah. pretty much.
That's it.
I stared at a pillow on the ground thinking it was a cat for a very long time.
Nice.
I'm like, when did we get that?
It's one of those moments where you look down and you're like, I want to go pet it, but I don't know if it's real.
Yeah.
And then you're like, but how long is it okay to not question it to like, can I go and do it and be like, oh, I'm on drugs?
And then I tried to grab it because I knew it was a pillow, but then I realized I have to get up and it's like not right there.
My arm doesn't get longer whenever
right.
I
it was really weird.
So
I played a lot of Kingdom Come Deliverance.
Yeah, how was that?
It's a game, first off, it's buggy.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. All of the reviews are like, I like this game, despite all of its flaws.
And I think I'm along the same gamut because I played quite a... Not because I was just because I was sick and had time. It was also that the concept of this game was better than any bugs that could present itself.
Okay.
That what I was being sold with this game was more interesting than, you know, any hiccups or anything like that. And the
So it's like PUBG. Like, people love PUBG despite the fact that sometimes PUBG just does weird things.
The PUBG is not ready yet.
Yeah.
And, you know, that kind of brings me back to my childhood because, you know, I think everyone's on a nostalgia trip, but, like, there are some games, like, we played on N64 that were just not ready.
Right.
And, you
But
know,
you love them anyway.
Right.
Because, like, it was the game you had. Like, you had this
you
game.
You couldn't get another game.
Right. And you're not going to get an updated version.
Yeah, there were no updates back then. You just had to live with it. And Kingdom Come has a lot I can live with.
Nice.
And it's getting, it looks like the developer being honest about it is a big thing for me,
yeah,
too. Because they were just like, we wanted to, they kind of got set on, because it was throwing a Kickstarter,
mm-hmm,
and they kind of got set on the release date.
You know what? It's good that they at least delivered something.
And it's not just something. It's a good game.
Right.
And it's not like a Star Citizen where it's like...
They're making it. It's still in the oven.
Yeah, that's been in the oven. It's going to be like... It's like... if it was a bun in the oven, it'd be like that Will Ferrell sketch on Saturday Night Live where he comes out and he's a fully grown man.
He's a fully grown man.
He's like, wow, it was hot in there.
Previous host, Red Bear, actually has spent a ton of money, like hundreds and hundreds of dollars of real money in this virtual currency to buy a ton of, a slew of ships. And kind of like, man, you know, it's the game's not ready yet. Like, you're, I mean, you can fly around.
You don't
around,
even know if it's good yet.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, she's playing it. She's playing, like, the demo and everything,
oh,
which is
okay,
cool. Like, there's, and I actually kickstarted it, and I think I'm the one that told her about it. But, I, you know, we played it, and it's buggy, and it looks great, but it's buggy.
But,
you know,
and that's about how much you can live with.
Yeah.
And, Kingdom Come Deliverance is, there's a lot, you know, different from this game that I really liked.
Mm-hmm.
It was a combat system that requires, if you're interested in picking it up, just so you guys know, you know, train your character. You can't just go out there with a sword and expect to hack and slash and you're like, oh, I'm going to get, he learns by, you know, his skill increases as he does stuff. But it's usually a better idea to talk to somebody. It's like, yes, let's go into the battle arena and I'll
here's
train
a training
you.
Dummy. Hit
yeah.
this a bunch.
Well, he does do it, and that's a good way to get your stuff up. And he teaches you certain moves and stuff like that.
Okay. Because
your character just can't spontaneously know that.
Right.
It's got to be taught that. But after, you know, that, the game kind of came a lot easier. It's a lot less frustrating. You know, but there's stuff about it that I would have liked a little bit, you know, more. It's like, it's done with the Cry engine.
Oh, so it looks great, but it's not optimized for anything.
Correct. Yeah. That's the Cry. That's yeah. the Cry engine.
The Cry engine
show.
Looks amazing when you are playing Crysis, but when you are not playing Crysis, it still looks amazing. It just might not be that optimized. Like you,
the Cry engine doesn't know how to handle a horse. Like that's a
well,
good.
You
way
know
to
what?
Say
that's
things.
Interesting though, because like, I think The Witcher 3 got horses correct.
Yes.
I don't know, and I would even say that Metal Gear Solid 5 Phantom Pain got horses correct.
Oh, very much
but,
so.
But I don't think any other game that has had horse mechanics has really gotten horses correct.
I think...
Like, very, very correct.
I think the closest one before those, and it was still kind of buggy, but it was still pretty darn good, was Red Dead Redemption.
I take that back. Red Dead Redemption was good. I was trying to put like my thought in there. I was like, was it an Assassin's Creed game? And I couldn't remember the name of it. It was Red Dead Redemption. That's
Red Dead
was.
Redemption. You know, you'd still... I don't blame you for not putting in the category because, you know, I've done some buggy stuff with that horse.
It wasn't perfect. But.
You know, I got my horse 10 feet off the ground at a point, you know, when I went over a hill like it's a car. But, you know, for how the horse is...
It has this Grand Theft Auto, like, car physics for the horse in
but
a weird turn
for,
of events.
Yeah, but for the most part,
yeah.
Especially with open world games, there's going to be bugginess. There's just always going to be bugginess. And until we can figure out a way to not get in there, but I'm not smart enough to be that guy. But with Red Dead Redemption, it's like I never at no point where I was ever like, no, that's not how our horse moves. I'm like, yes, these are horses. I totally believe it. They did a great Red Dead Redemption never gets enough credit for its animals.
I would love to see the horse AI like influence your movements. Like you're playing the character, you're not playing the horse. So whenever you move on the stick or whatever to yank the reins on the horse may be able to like listen to you because you know you train your horse and you keep your horse nice,
right?
Or you completely just don't care about the horse and it's turning into a horse simulator. But you know the horse doesn't like you and it bucks you off or it like goes
right.
the opposite direction or whatever. So it becomes a lot more of a all right, now I have to Tamagotchi my horse a lot. So
yeah,
that
that's combination of how well trained the horseman is and how good of a horseman you are.
Right, right.
Those are two factors.
Well, now, and I feel like that's sort of like diminished a little bit because you really are just playing with a controller. So it's like, what can I? How much articulation do I have with these, you know, four or five buttons that I can use?
How do I make this horse better or worse? Or what do I?
Well, as a horseman, like as someone who is driving, riding the horse or whatever, I mean, you only have so many things that you can do. So I feel like there's a lot of more, there's game elements that you can bring into play there that over time can get better or get worse.
Makes you feel more attached to your horse, I bet. If
yes.
Like, I put in a lot of time in getting this animal instead of just buying like a deed of like, here's better horse.
That's it. Like, I don't want to trade in my horse. I want to keep my horse. And, you know, maybe over in game time, that's a story element. Your horse gets shot or something. Big deal, right?
And that's the thing back in the West, that was a big deal.
Right. You know, I was the best horse I ever had.
For that reason.
Yes. You train your horse. And, okay, we don't need to redesign. When Red Dead 2 comes out, what is it, October, November?
October 26th.
Yeah, I knew you would know.
I know.
That's my password.
Xbox
Red Dead Redemption 2.
Man, I'm ready for it.
The Xbox. I love it.
It's a great system.
Anyway, I'm sorry. I cut you off. So
I was pretty much done.
Kingdom Come.
Kingdom Come, it's very good. I like the combat system. It's just, I recognize that this was a limitation. I felt like these guys were making a game with one hand tied behind their back because they couldn't make their own engine for this. And I bet, you know, this game would be very different if it had its own engine built around it.
Yeah, I mean, this is a crazy tie-in, but I played this game called Video Game, like, developer simulator or whatever. It's a little cartoony, just clickbait. You know, you make video games for these slightly misnamed.
I really
liked this. Like it was fun. I think this was on Steam. It was like a $10 game, and I was like, it was on a Steam sale.
Indie developer simulator
or whatever. Tycoon game.
Tycoon.
And I remember like I really liked naming the games and everything, but then I started to learn things like, oh, it's a very normal thing for indie developers or even big developers to just license Unreal or license Cry or license Unity or something instead of building their own game engine, because maybe not everyone's an engine developer. Maybe you just are a good video game developer.
It requires a lot of knowledge.
Right. There's math. That's why I teach. I don't know if I told you that. I teach computer science here at Southeastern. Right. And I have the very first class that I teach is like an intro to object-oriented develop class. And I go, hey, you know, what's your goal? Like, what do you want to do in class or in life, like for your job? And I was like, you know, who wants to make video games? And you always see like half a dozen hands shoot up. And I'm like, well, let's kill that dream. Mm-hmm. And I try to kill the dream by saying, like, you're not just going to get a 4-year degree and go and make video games at a big company. You can maybe indie develop, and that's cool. You can do that now. But like, those game engines are math, they're physics. They're not playing games. They're building worlds. You have to become god of this world by building everything from gravity to all this other stuff.
Yeah,
and it's just so much easier and more cost effective to license
and
an
then
engine.
I come from the entertainment aspect of things with, you know, the film and everything like that, where, you know, I've been in this, I kind of do the same thing. It's like, who wants to be a film actor? Like, when I do like stuff at high school, it's like, okay, well, it costs about $3,000 of your own money just to get into SAG. So that's one thing that costs $3,000. Probably going to be another $10,000 throughout your lifetime, dropping money on yourself trying to get work. Mm-hmm. And then again, you might not get any work because there's no guarantee in this. You're going to be working 14 hours a day sometimes on sets, sometimes in a swamp, Cryptid the Swamp Beast, first season, Jonah. And then
shameless plug.
It's shameless plug. But then, of course, when you got guys like you that are working the engines, like, okay, well, gravity falls at 9.8 meters a second. It's like, and then I come in and go, yeah, but that's not as much fun if it wasn't like that.
Right. Can we change that? What's the creative direction of changing that? That's not what video game designers do, like, at an engine level. That's what they do as, like, creative designers.
That's a creative.
A game director. You know, you've got all of the people out there that are making the big decisions that have to look at the semi-finished product throughout progress, like the progress stage or whatever, and they're the ones that are kind of playing the game and representing the game and going talk to Jeff Knightley and everything, you know, on all these shows. The engine developers, you know, I'm sure people at Santa Monica that are developing like God of War or whatever, like I'm sure that they're playing the game midway, but they're not playing the whole game. They're building this. They don't need to play the game. They're writing the game. They're making the game. Yeah. You know, you play a game because you enjoy it, maybe for story or maybe for competition or maybe for just whatever. But, you know, they're not doing it for fun. They're doing it to support their families and themselves. Yeah. And That's kind of like an interesting, I don't know, I feel like that could be like a full-blown show that we could talk about.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it takes forever to kind of describe.
It also takes forever to, I mean, you can't.
There's separate education. After your 40-year degree.
Film, you can edit stuff out or you can reshoot things, which costs money.
Yeah.
Video games, you better make sure you need that two-minute cutscene.
There's so much money involved with like getting your voice actors and getting your motion caption set up. And I mean, again, you know, any film with CG is going to be the same thing because the cutting room floor is the most expensive waste bin in the world sometimes. And it's also like, you know, there's plenty of, you know, cut content from video games, but that's your time that you spend as a person. That's kind of an assumed cost. The downside is whenever it's okay, we've got 3 weeks. It is now crunch time. We have to crush this game out now. And people like commit suicide over that. Like it's a crazy thing. Yeah. I mean, it's no different. The work related stress is everywhere in every industry.
Oh yeah.
But I mean, it's insane. I feel like that could be a really good show. I don't know. Maybe next week.
While I was out, what did you do last week?
I bought Super Mario Odyssey.
Oh yeah,
I bought Super Mario Odyssey, and so last week I did a very un-game related thing. I babysat or dog sat for 12 dogs.
Oh my gosh,
12 dogs! But 11 of them weren't mine, and then one of them was mine.
Oh, so you brought him to have 11 new friends?
Right. Yeah, I brought him over there. It was from my girlfriend's parents, my girlfriend and my girlfriend's brothers. They all went skiing in Colorado.
Oh, so this is like this one family didn't have 11 dogs.
No. It's four people, five people, I guess had four people had 11 dogs, and it was me. And they invited me, hey, you can come stay at our house. You know, we don't expect you to have dogs at your house. Like, and they gave me a nice list of all this stuff. And it was pretty awesome, but it was one of those things where I had to solve some problems that normally I don't run into, like how am I going to video game? And I'm classically, like traditionally, I'm not a mobile gamer. I don't game on my phone. I don't game on the Switch. Even as it's hard to game on the Switch, I pro controller and I dock the Switch all the time.
Right.
Because I want that sit on the couch, be comfortable, have a beer or whatever experience. And playing with the Joy-Cons on the Switch was both an extremely new experience that I don't think I've ever done it. I think the Switch had been in the dock unless I'm transporting it somewhere and then it's in a case. I played with the Joy-Cons. I have the plastic case on it because I'm worried so much.
Yeah.
But I played it. Two things. One, you know, I'm still not a mobile gamer. But the Switch makes it very, very easy. I'm in bed like at night holding it above my head, and I'm worried like if I drop this, I'm just gonna kill myself. Like it's gonna fall on my face. And,
oh yeah.
You know, so I have that fear, and arm fatigue or whatever. So there's that. But then there's also the fact that Mario Odyssey is really, really awesome. It is super, super good so far. And I'm nowhere in it. I didn't want to do Mario Kart because that's very arcadey, and I didn't want to continue listening to Zelda because that is going to be. I need to be like zoned in to play that game.
Yeah.
So I got Odyssey, and it. You know, it's like a year after a release or half a year after a release or whatever. So the price dropped on Amazon and I picked it up and I really, really liked it. But that was the gaming thing that I did. But another gaming thing that I did, and this is for all of the PC gamers out there. Chances are every computer you own is not a really good gaming powerhouse. Chances are you have a laptop or a tablet or something that, you know, you've got your Surface, what is it, Surface 2 or Surface 3?
This is Surface 3.
Okay, so Surface Pro 3. This doesn't have a graphics card really to speak of. It's not that
it's
great.
It's got an Intel
graphics
card.
It's like an integrated graphics card. You're not going to play a full 3D awesome high graphics game, but you have a 1080 or a 1070 or something at home.
I have the 1080 Ti.
Right, you have a big, nice, good, full-blown rig at home.
That's the ultra settings, 60 frames.
The story that we used to have, actually, you know what? Let's cut to the, because this is straying away. Let's cut to one song. Let's cut to Pretend by I-Fi Dragons. We'll come back and we'll talk about this after that, just so that we don't miss our legal ID. Yep. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin.
This is the Experience Points Radio Show, exclusively on Southeastern Zone
90.9 KSLU. You almost forgot.
I know. What station are we on? Yeah. Hey, we're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU, still the Experience Points Radio Show. I'm MG.
I'm still Dustin.
That was I-Fi Dragons with Pretend off of the near future. It was one of their non-story-driven tracks. I think before you were co-hosting, we did a listen-in I used to do that where we would take really awesome geek albums, and we'd listen to the whole thing.
Oh, really?
We'd listen to the whole thing. It would be a music-only show, but then it was usually like an album. Like I brought in a personal. It's good that we're in this this booth because it's the one with the record player. I would bring in my own records and I would listen to them and I'd pick them up.
I would mute the record player.
I love vinyl. I'm the guy that's like, vinyls are coming back. I was like, well, I have a vinyl music please subscription. Okay, so the previous segment we were talking about what we did, and I said that I was dog sitting, and then I had a problem with playing games, and the first thing I said was that Super Mario Odyssey was great, and then I'm working
on
Switch.
Did some stuff with the Switch, but you had some PC news.
Right. I was talking about PCs, and I see that you have your Surface here, and the idea is that as gamers, you typically have one really boss system, a rig that is just awesome. It was probably as good as you could afford at the time for its generation, and it plays all the games that you actually want to play at a rate, at a level that you deem acceptable.
Right.
Is that about right? Like, this is exactly, I want 60 frames a second, I want 1080p or 4K or 2K or whatever.
It always drove me nuts when there was an option I couldn't have those.
Right. But this is what you want. You saved up and you spent the money, and if you didn't, you still have, like, the best computer that you've ever owned. And every computer that you have in your house that isn't that one is probably some, like, generational, like, oh, it's a perennial computer, a gaming computer, you know, Gen 1, Gen 2, Gen 3. And this is my latest gen. They probably all have names. You probably have color schemes. You've got, you know, fond stories and memories of these things. But the problem remains, you have a mobile device like a phone or a laptop or something, and it doesn't play, or laptop, like a tablet PC, it doesn't play games the way that you want it to. And you're probably a gamer where you want to play really, really good games. So, and usually you get like Switch, and Switch is mobile. You could play games on Switch, but if you want to play PC games,
it's console quality on the go.
Yeah, you can't play your PC games on the Switch.
Right.
Not yet or whatever. I have been talking about this for a little bit. It's this system called Parsec. And Parsec allows you to, on a non-powerful computer, or even on like an Android phone, I don't know if they have it for iPhone, but on a Mac, on a Windows computer, on a tablet, or on an Android tablet or an Android device, you can stream at 60 frames a second. I am not even, you're looking at me with those like deception, disgrace. No. 60 frames a second, 1080p, low latency, low input lag, full-blown games for your PC. It is amazing. It is mind-blowing. I have a Surface Book, or I have a Surface Pro 4. You're like, turn this on, get this, put it in my hand right now. And it's free. That's the thing. You install the Parsec, the Parsec server. It's really just a Parsec application on both points.
Okay.
On the good point, and it has to be a Windows machine though. On the good point to be the server. On the good one, on the one that you want to game to.
Okay.
You host it. You say, enable hosting on this. And then on the other one, you just connect to it with the same account, and then you can start playing the games on there. It is ridiculous, and it gets even more ridiculous, because all I wanted to do was play Final Fantasy XII, but I play with a controller, because originally it was for PlayStation 2. I play with a DualShock 4. I was able to hook my DualShock 4 wirelessly up to a Surface Pro 4, and then play this in big screen mode on Steam through Parsec at my home on my Surface Pro 4. It was amazing. The website is parsecgaming.com. It is absolutely insane. It's so good. It was unbelievable. I won't even lie. It was unbelievable. Whenever I did... Are you downloading it right now?
Yes.
Like, the wireless cannot be fast enough here.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the thing. I was also playing on wireless, like bad wireless. Like slow... like complicated wireless network setups, and it was still working. Now every now and then there would be like a pause, like a catch up lag pause. But I pulled the graphics down a little bit, like I pulled the network, you know, instead of making it pretty, make it fast.
Yeah.
And it was just every now and then it would pixelate out, like kind of robo out a little bit, but then it would just come right back. I didn't die. It was just like I was right in front of my computer. It was absolutely amazing. We've seen this with like PlayStation, like Now or PS Now. We've tried this with like defunct services, like On Live or some gaming On Live.
Yeah,
and it's never been able to work.
So why does this work?
I don't know. They're all wizards. They are PC
it's like
magicians.
Piper in Silicon Valley.
It's got to be something crazy like that, because it's just insane. In fact, I played it, and my coworker who we all work in technology. My coworker was like, I don't know how I feel about this. It doesn't seem like it should be able to work this good. And I'm like, yeah, I know. And he goes, I want to know what they're doing behind the scenes, because I don't trust it. And I'm like, what do you mean? I'm like, they can't be like, this isn't fake. Like, I know what's on my computer. I'm on my computer right now. Watch, look, I'll tab, and here it is. And he's like, yeah, yeah, but how? And he's like, I'm happy, but I'm confused, too. You really are. It's all right now. Yes, accept the drivers.
Yes. Do what you need to do.
It's so good, though. I would recommend Parsec Gaming, and it's free. That's the craziest thing. It's free. So
I'm sitting here looking at you with a... from the under the bridge of my nose right now.
I don't know.
I am know about suspicious, this. Just like everybody listening to this right now. Suspicious.
You wanna,
I think you're taking money from Parsec.
I am not. Definitely not. It'd be great. I love how we've started putting onomatopoeias in these shows where you hit something or we ruffle some papers or we like clear our throat.
Yeah.
You know, we do something like that. So you're getting the. It's not another dimension or anything, but I think it's extra.
I like that.
It's
we need sound effects.
Yeah, we need a soundboard. Is that it? We go to, was it E-Bomb's World and get that?
Yeah.
Get a soundboard.
Get a big soundboard.
Who's your daddy?
It's
who is it?
It's TJ and the Bud in the morning.
Let's go through some news.
Yes.
Most recent news, working backwards, was that... So have you played a Yakuza game? Like any do you like them? I mean, I like them. I don't think I've ever beat one.
Not for me, but I can see why other people would like them.
Some people really, really like it. They released a 30-gig demo on PlayStation Store yesterday, and it was 30 gigs because you played up to a certain point, like a gate, and then you could just unlock the full game and keep playing. So if you want to play the demo, cool, 30 gigs. If you want to play the full game, cool. It's still 30 gigs, and you just... pay to play at past a certain point.
Right.
But for some reason, the first download that they had didn't stop you. It just let you keep playing. It's the full-blown game. And the crazy thing is, Yakuza 6, it wasn't supposed to be out until April 17th. So we're a month and a half away.
Are you kidding me?
Nearly a month. It's already March. A month and a half away from this game's official release, and the demo, which I assume was, you know, fully fleshed out. Usually they work really hard on the first part of the game so they can release a demo and generate some buzz. The demo was free. They released the whole thing, and I don't know if the game is, like, ready to be released. I don't know. And it's giving you, like gamers trophies.
Right.
So there's clearly, like, part of the game system that's live, but I'm wondering at what point they pulled it, and they're going to re-release the demo or whatever after they're sure that it's been locked down. But, I mean, dropping the ball hard, Sega. I guess people that really love Yakuza are like, oh, the demo, and they download it first day, and they're the first in line. And
yeah.
They get the full game. Congratulations, guys.
Yay.
Players.
Wow. That's crazy. But I played a Yakuza, I think, 2 or 3 for... it was like for PS3.
Oh, PS3. Okay.
It was for PS3.
Yeah.
I messed with it. It wasn't my particular cup of tea.
Yeah.
I kind of felt like, you know...
The one where you play a Yakuza, right?
I think so.
Okay. This is like my mom explains video games. Super Mario Odyssey. Oh, it must be where Mario goes on a long quest. Yeah, mom.
By the way, when you said Mario Odyssey, I think of the meme of where Mario's got his shirt off and he's dancing at the Pauline New York thing.
Nice.
And Pauline is like the mayor. She's like, she's both reminded of why she left Mario and why she fell in love with him in the first place.
Let's keep moving on. Halo. When I say Halo, you think of angels. You think of many other things.
I thought of killing aliens.
I said angels.
angels now.
They're angels now. Anyway, Halo Reach came out a while back.
This story is so cool.
Halo Reach came out a while back, and it's a really good game. Like, Halo Reach is one of my favorite games in the entire series. I liked how they didn't do Master Chief at all in it. I liked how it was...
Some of the great weapons, the DMR. I love DMR.
Yes, yes. So back in 2010, this team called Termacious Tricosity... They just do Halo tricks, like that's their thing, right? And in 2010, they were attempting a different trick, and they realized some crazy thing about this one level in Halo Reach, that there was it was called the Abyss Space. Abyss Space is just solid space in a game engine to kind of conserve resources, and you can sort of like carve out other parts of a level and use them for Half-Life 2 does this a lot.
Oh yeah, well
there's like parts of the level you can't access, but they use it to set up like a camera so you can see like Breen in like when you go into City 17, you can see Breen on a monitor. That's actually in the game.
There's
like
a
underground
room.
Yeah, like far underground that you can never get to without hacks or without cheats or whatever.
They'll do cutscenes in those areas
exactly.
that are in-engine.
It's never pre-rendered engine or pre-rendered stuff, which is really good because pre-rendered is sort of... It used to be a big important thing to save resources, but now game engines are so good. Games like Metal Gear Solid have been doing it for a while where they didn't do any pre-rendered, which was really, really awesome. That's one of the reasons why I love it. God of War did it. Tomb Raider, I think...
Tomb Raider
the
is
new
not,
Tomb Raiders
new
the new Tomb Raiders
is
did
not
it.
Pre-rendered.
Anyway, back in 2010 they started doing this and they finally they discovered that in one of the levels when they were at Sword Base there was this destroyed science wing that was used for a cutscene and they thought it was just pre-rendered because Halo does pre-render some things. And through a different trick not really going the way that they thought it was going to go, they discovered this isn't true. It's actually a cutscene in a real room and the real room is underground, real real far away, and there's got to be a way for us to get to it. And they tried for 7 years to get to it, and they just got to it. I watched the video. It's like a 30-minute video. It is insane. I've seen issues where people recode Super Mario World live on the Super Nintendo to make Flappy Bird.
Yeah.
This was like that level of crazy.
But they did it all in-game without
all
doing in-game any coding.
All in-game without no hacks, no exploits, none of that. They relied on memory management. They relied on loading and deloading different checkpoint zones.
Using the system that is integrated in the Xbox 360.
Using the game that shipped. Now, I want to say there were some stipulations, like it had to be an unpatched version of the game or something.
Oh, okay.
It had to be it never got updated or something. I want to say that that's true. That's typically what the case is usually, but I don't know for sure, so... I'll look at that and I'll come back. And in final news, and this is the one that's always annoying because I get to say a quote. It's dumb.
And I got some news as well.
Oh, okay. Do your news.
Oh well, and this is just a rumor. Kotaku and IGN were reporting on this. It is still in the rumor phase that Disney is not necessarily happy with how EA handled Star Wars.
And they, who would be?
And here's the thing. Disney is very...
You're gonna do it good.
Disney is probably one of the most image-conscious businesses on the planet.
They will fire they will fire PewDiePie from like the one of the sister companies because it relates. They sign a check at some
point. And there's a clause in their contract that states if they don't meet certain expectations, that they have the right to pull their plug. Well, under the grounds of they were about $1.5 million copies short of what EA said they were going to sell, that meets the criteria. So there is a rumor going around right now, and I know reporting on a rumor is kind of that, just what it is a rumor, but the grounds for Disney pulling the license from EA is there and giving it to somebody like Ubisoft or Activision, which...
You know what? I feel like a Call of Duty, a Star Wars themed Call of Duty isn't the craziest thing in the world, because if you look at like Infinite Warfare or Advanced Warfare... I could see like that's very Star Warsy, and then just apply some talent to it.
Right, but I have such fond memories of going to that, and from Knights of the Old Republic.
Fair point. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. EA started making it, and BioWare stopped.
Yeah.
If BioWare continued to make Star Wars games, it wouldn't really be a problem, with the exceptions of like KOTOR, SWOTOR.
Right, The online version of it, I wasn't a really big fan of.
That was Star Wars: The Old Republic.
I'd rather a really good narrative.
I like really good single player games that can have a multiplayer element. That's cool, but I like the single player.
Yeah,
I'm the weird guy that plays like Battlefield and Call of Duty single player campaigns.
See, I wouldn't mind like an integration of multiplayer. Like, your 3-person party. Well, or they expanded to a 4-person party or something like that. Like, like what Knights of the Old Republic was always based off D&D. And they would have, you can have your friend's character drop in and replace a party member or something.
Right. I thought that was fine. I wanted to work out because I do want to get the game. Like, I want to get the game because it's going to look great. It's going to play great. I don't want to get it right now. So
what, Battlefront 2?
Yeah.
I'm very...
I will wait. I'm going to wait for them to do it on Origin, because Origin on Live or on Go Live or whatever, because I...
Origin Pass.
The Origin Pass. I pay for $5 a month, and I'm playing all these games that I just... I did it with Andromeda, where I paid $60 or $70, and then they released it 6 months later, less than 6 months later, on Origin EA Pass or whatever.
So what's your final
bit of news? The two final bits of news. Chrono Trigger got a surprise release on PC, and it isn't great. It's the...
Chrono Trigger.
Yeah. Right. What did I say?
Chrono Trigger.
The trigger of the Chronos.
The Chrono Trigger, the SNES classic.
It doesn't look good on PC because it's like the mobile graphics that got updated. It's not very good.
It's got all sorts of bugginess as well, some sort of quest
bugs. Not worth your $15. Give it a minute. Square Enix is bound to do something. It's not even hard to make money with Final Fantasy or Chrono Trigger or Chrono Cross.
It's like, it's not a, this isn't a triple, this is an older game.
Yeah, it's not supposed to be 3D and in HD and everything, but I mean, it can't look like absolute garbage. I mean, it's got to look decent at some point.
I would have just done the regular SNES version, packed it with bonus features.
I mean, that's what they did with like Final Fantasy VII. They didn't try to update it or optimize it or anything.
No.
I think they maybe dealt with the fonts
or
something, but they didn't change any of the graphics.
Just clean up what needs to be cleaned up.
The final bit of news is, unfortunately, following the Parkland shooting a week and a half ago, which was, you know, terrible. 70 people died. Tons of people got hurt, injured. And there's like now Broward and a bunch of crazy news related stuff. We're not really going to touch on that, but there's a big drama and politicizing topics, of course, all the time.
And usually one of the scapegoats is
it's always
usual.
Video games. Video games make people violent. Violent video games. We have President of the United States saying, I'm going to do my best. This is frustrating to say. Quotes.
Don't do the voice.
No, I'm not going to do the voice. I'm not going to do the voice. During a meeting, Trump said, quote, we have to look at the internet because a lot of bad things are happening to young kids and young minds, and their minds are being formed, and we have to do something about maybe what they're seeing and how they're seeing it, and also video games. I'm hearing more and more people say the level of violence on video games is really shaping young people's thoughts, and you go one step further, and that's the movies. You see these movies, and they're so violent, a kid is able to see the movie if sex isn't involved, but killing is involved, and maybe we need to put a rating system for that, end quote.
There's a ratings.
ESRB, and then movies, there's the MPAA.
Did he really just say that?
Yeah.
That's to be political or anything.
No, that's what he said. And I think he meant a rating system for sex and violence, not necessarily like a rated R or PG-13. PG-13-S, PG-13-V.
But killing is involved, and maybe
I'm,
put a
I'm
rating
not, I'm not saying I know what he's
for
thinking.
For how much.
I don't
feel like that's a reoccurring theme.
But
killing, and maybe to put a rating system for that, I'm not bothering interpreting his
vagueness.
It's
difficult. It's really difficult. I'll say this. You know, I was watching to kind of spin up for this segment, and we don't have a lot of time. It's actually we've been in the show for over 50 minutes now.
Yeah.
So I guess my thoughts on that are, you know, there have been a number of studies, and if you slant the researchers and the analysts, you can look at statistics and you can misconstrue statistics in a lot of ways.
People confuse correlation and causation all the time.
It's a commonsensical sort of way of like, well, clearly this is the way that people when you look at something so violent, you get desensitized to it.
When someone tells you how to interpret data and you're not looking at it,
that's the thing. It's really dangerous. You can take those statistics and you can look at them a lot of different ways. I don't think, and again, I haven't personally researched this enough to where I'm going to say this super confidently, but I have done like an hour or two worth of research, watching videos, reading reading analytical data. And it doesn't seem like there are a ton of definitive studies that say or point to, with any real legitimacy, that violent or that video games inhibit. Sure, video games can have addictive personality, addictive natures to them. You know, World of Warcraft or whatever,
and
like that's. But that's a different thing.
If that's the and that becomes the issue. If that's the singular input of somebody else, you also have coupled with that of. You have to establish if you saying video games causes violence, that means you've done some sort of experiment that has proven that there is not a correlative relationship, but a causative relationship.
Right, exactly.
And that's very different.
No, I don't think anyone's really definitively shown
no
that.
No one has done that.
And it's frustrating because you say this, I mean, you know, whether the President of the United States says it or someone on Fox News or CNN says it, mm-hmm. And it's been a political kind of stepping stone for a while. I think Hillary Clinton tried to do it a while back.
Yeah, she did it about Resident of Evil Hill.
Resident of Evil Hill.
That's what she said.
That sounds like if Iran decided to make video games and they were like, we are going to make this game. I'm not going to do a voice. I don't know what Iranian people sound like, but it was, we are going to make a video game. It will call it Resident of Evil Hill
It's the bootleg of Grandma Gets You. I like it. Is this the one you wanted?
This is the one you for your Game Gear. This is what you wanted. Resident Evil Hill 2.
They're all kind of out of touch.
And that's the thing. And I think one of the studies was conducted by people who everyone on the board was over 50 something years old, and they don't understand the medium to the point where they can be analytical about it. They're already subjective and not objective. Right.
And it's also very difficult when you say these are rating systems. It's because there is a rating system for film. You would not bring your kid to go see Goodfellas,
right?
For a reason.
Well, unless you want a really specific kid, I mean that.
And when you do bring a kid to do that, you don't say, "Well, that kid's been exposed to violence." You say, "No, that kid has an idiot parent."
Right. Well, and that's the same thing. ESRB is designed for the same way.
You get a kid Grand Theft Auto 5, you don't say for some reason, "Well, it's a violent video game."
The game did it to them.
No. An idiot parent exposed them to something they should not have been exposed to.
This is just, it's a classical sort of maneuver of it's much easier to police and regulate this industry than it is to say how to raise your kid or to come down on, tougher gun. I'm not saying I'm for or against tougher gun laws, but it's like tougher gun laws is a really hard thing.
Yeah.
Kicking EA in the butt or Rockstar in the butt and saying, hey, you can't do this anymore. It's illegal to sell to underage games. The game companies don't.
The distributor does that. The easier punching bag.
Walmart, I remember going, I was like, hey, mom, I want to buy this game. And she's like, oh, the man says it's got an M for maybe you shouldn't buy the game. And then she's like, well, you're an adult. You're smart. And I was like 8. And I ended up getting, Killer Instinct or whatever.
Oh God!
But if it's like Super Nintendo, so I mean, whatever. It's an environmental thing.
I loved ruining kids' dreams at GameStop when I worked there because I was the guy that was like,
sorry, Timmy Thompson.
This game is very violent. She's like, how violent? I'm like, would you let him watch Goodfellas? She's like, no. Right. Then
any part in RoboCop just like that.
And then the kid's looking at me, and I'm like, yeah, I ain't here to be your friend. Yep. And yeah, it hurts sales.
Go join the church.
Go join some. I recommend something like. But then there would be like ESRB readings like. Halo was always kind of a weird one for me.
Right. Where they ever cursed in Halo.
They never cursed in Halo.
They were like, you looking swole.
And most of the violence was done to aliens. And like they see that on Saturday morning cartoons, for God's sake.
Yeah, that's the thing.
This is a mislabel in a lot of ways.
It's misleading. It's subjective to, I guess, the people. And it should be impartial. Like it should be an unbiased sort of process. But it isn't. People are like that. So we are out of time.
Okay,
critically out of time.
Let's wrap
thanks
up.
Thanks for listening in. It's always great.
Thank you.
I was talking to you, not them. Thanks as well to everybody else out there.
You guys are super too, but I'm pretty good at listening.
Yeah. we'll be back next Wednesday. We got some stuff in store for you. We're going to catch you next Wednesday, 9 to 10. We have a website, exppoints.com. Remember, always double tap the P. Check it out. /social is where we have all our social media. Like, subscribe. Find out what we're doing because we're going to get a lot more active on social media because I'm going to make Dustin an administrator of Facebooks and Twitters. And
oh, really?
Like
oh, yeah, absolutely.
I think I could do that. I don't know, man.
Yes,
I know
you could
I'm
do
terrible
that.
At social
I didn't
media.
Know you. I was like, do we have a meeting?
We have a staff
I'm
meeting
for
Experience
it, but
Forms
I was
platform.
Like, oh, my gosh.
We're going to end with, I think we're trying to do 2 songs. Might not fit in, or I might just go over. This is going to be All Form the Head by MC Frontalot and Undertale, the Woodwind Arrangement by Kotaku's own Kirk Hamilton. Thank you for listening again. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin.
This is the Experience Points Radio Show exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 KSLU.
Now he's forgetting.
That was perfect. Nailed it. We're not doing it again. We'll do it live.